Hi, everyone, and welcome to the 7 Miles Coffee Podcast. I am Josh Bowen, the coffee part of the 7 Miles Coffee Podcast. With me today is, of course, Adam Carr.
Dr. Adam Carr,
PhD, chemical engineer extraordinaire, head of the CSEC, part of the 7 Miles Coffee Roasters industry. And also the science part of the Coffee Science Guru podcast.
Indeed.
And the guru today is very famous, much obliged, very likable Matthew Brown. Hi.
Hi, Josh.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah. Thanks, Matt, for introducing the podcast, Josh.
Thank you.
You did a good job.
Was it all right?
That was very good.
Cool.
Yeah. Right. See?
I don't need you.
No, you don't need me. Well, here's a first test for you. What are we actually doing the podcast today about?
Automation.
Ah, very good.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Yep, can't get a robot to say that.
What? You're replacing me?
maybe. Yeah, sorry.
15 years experience.
Gone. What a waste of time.
Yeah. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people who the automation thing has been very debated recently. In coffee, there's been a few things that have sort of made it a talking point within the coffee community. We recently had an event just on automation where people could come in and try a bunch of different equipment from fully automated coffee machines that will dial themselves in and make a recipe and be pretty consistent to a certain point throughout an entire day or week. Of course, machines can't taste yet. Then we had machines that were almost completely manual as well. So
yeah, we had the two ends of the spectrum because we had the lever machine. We had a newer version of the Lamazoco lever, which is a very cool machine. It is very cool. There's a review on it, by the way, if you want to have a look at that. And in fact, there's a review on the other end of the scale as well.
Yeah.
Our own Matthew Brown.
Yeah, Matt Brown.
Who did that thing? What were we review again? What was it?
The Eversys Cameo.
That's right, the Eversys Cameo.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So, Matt, I mean, you've been around here for 15 years. You've seen the things. So where is sort of that automation? I mean, 15 years ago when you started, I mean, where was automation? What was your interaction with automatic machines? I mean,
I think the only automation really was that you could program a volume on the espresso machine by the volumetrics. Electronic grinders didn't exist back then. It was still in dosing chamber and dosing manually. Then people introduced things like dosing tools to scrape a certain amount of coffee off.
Shout out to Scotty Callahan.
And then, yeah, there was a little bit of resistance when the electronic grinder started to come in. Then there was this push back against volumetrics, which was really interesting. Where it just the look of the extraction, just kind of really constantly monitoring the extraction and cutting it off manually when a certain color changed, that became real prominent. And then all of a sudden we went back the other way, back to volumetrics.
Yeah, I think I even saw in my 6 or 7 years experience that whole spectrum very quickly of manually the art of the espresso shot checking sort of not even timing, but like using your own intuition to see how fast it's pouring and what the color looks like, and stopping it. You know, blonding is still something that I see people talk about that they think is bad, which we know it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just a different part of the coffee extraction.
So, I mean, really automation initially with the programming of volumetrics, it was there to enhance consistency.
Indeed.
Yeah. And, you know, efficiency as well. If you don't have to watch something, you can...
Yeah, but that kind of changed.
Okay. Yeah, and that's true. Like, if you train for barista competitions, for example, and you're pulling, and back in the day when you had to stop the extraction by yourself and all that kind of stuff, very manually based on feel, you could train yourself to be very accurate. But the problem is when you're in a commercial environment, you have lots of hands touching the equipment. And you get great inconsistencies from barista to barista on a manual grinder or by turning off the extraction at a certain color. What is my color versus your color? All that kind of stuff.
Yeah, how bright is the shop at this point? Is it morning? Is it night?
Like, yeah, indeed. Yeah. And I still don't think a lot of the grinder technologies still doses consistently as a very well-trained competition barista can.
Yeah.
But the second you put a second person into the equation, then it's a lot more consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what other kind of tools? I mean, we've certainly seen technology going backwards and it's sort of come back again. I mean, what... So obviously, you know, we'll obviously start probably talking about the cafes, but I mean, also even in super automatics, are kind of the things that do absolutely everything. I mean, how do... what? I think the general feel out there sometimes can be that super automatics compared to, say, the shot of barista pulls out in the cafe, and now there's actually quite a lot of, I guess, automation that's gone into a cafe. I mean, why is there negative perception around what happens with super automatics?
I guess it feels like to a consumer perhaps that there is that trust in the custom about someone's personally crafting something for you. Whereas if you just push a button, then it's taken away. The control's taken away. We're not looking after you as greatly. It's not as much of a...
Yeah, a super automatic machine being one that sort of grinds and does the milk and brews the coffee or the touch of a button without human interaction, just so people are clear.
So you think the taste is probably more in line with personal connection with a person rather than necessarily the actual taste of the beverage? Yeah.
I guess where those machines are found too, like on offices, usually, you know, business owners aren't necessarily splashing out for... they're not going to pay a wage necessarily for someone to make a barista coffee rather than, you know, get a super automatic machine to do it and then just getting someone in to clean it every now and then. So, like, I think whether...
Yeah, something out there is... I'm hoping that's not coming in the recording. There's some guy seems like he's pushing a big slab of concrete across the floor. It doesn't look like he is, but...
Yeah.
Maybe just because someone's like a new trainee on the forklift.
Yeah.
So we have this beans coming in.
Fully functioning roastery.
This is a fully functioning roastery, by the way. So if you hear weird sounds in the background, I kind of, you know, I'm just going to get up and
trucks,
find what
trucks
what
beeping up. Yeah.
You there. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know how much super automatic technology has advanced, whether it's had the ability to do very good coffee and no one's sort of given it the chance to, because in a cafe environment, you wouldn't see it.
Well, I think it's always been able to create a good product. It's just that, as you know, you've got to constantly adjust your variables, your grind settings to get that balance of flavor. So you do need a taste feedback. And what is set as a recipe in one day, you come in the next day and it might be raining and you might need to slightly adjust something on the machine to do that. So you need constant kind of monitoring of the extraction to get good consistency of flavor,
which is what a good barista will sort of manage.
Well, they set that up in the beginning of the day.
Yeah, well, and then continually monitor it throughout the day. I would hope. Yeah, but we've had a few bits of kit come through that we've looked at. The Puck Press was one that was
So Puck Press is basically a machine that tamps. So when you do an espresso, you obviously, for those who don't know, you tamp down, you do a bit of a pre-compaction, a compaction process basically to reduce the flow through a puck of coffee to get an extraction, an espresso, a characteristic espresso extraction. This does it for you.
So water is incredibly lazy. So if you have loosely packed coffee in a basket that goes into the machine, the water is just going to find the path of least resistance. So if you compact the coffee first, then it's less likely to find a pocket of air to sort of channel through, I would think. In historically, tamping has been sort of something that's been passed down from barista to barista, how to do it. It became very much a ritual, you know, knocking the side of the basket or tamping three times counterclockwise, spinning it, all this stuff that has sort of been passed down and has not really been scientific, let's say. So when the Puck Press has come along very recently, a lot of people, well, not a lot of people, some people have said that it is perhaps taking some of the art or the skill out of
the craft
part of making coffee. Whereas from what we tested, it was actually very consistent, which is sort of what you what you're after in hospitality generally.
Well, we saw there is we actually had Josh, you were part of that test. We had two baristas that
barista one and barista,
barista
A.
One, barista A. That's right. And there's no two or B here. We're all primary. What does it mean? Whatever. You know, we're all special.
Yeah,
just like everyone else.
Yeah,
yeah. So, anyways. We had these two baristas, one and A, tamp their shots and pull extractions, and we had the variability as a function of their tamp and compared that against the Puck Press. And what we saw is actually both Josh, I can't remember if you were A or 1.
I think I was 1.
Well, I'm A1. Both he and the other were both actually quite consistent in their ability to pull a relatively consistent shot, whereas the puck press relative to them was less consistent. However, when you took the average, when you look at the distribution of the two baristas' shots together, they were far outside the bell curve generated by the puck press.
Yeah.
So that's the key thing, I think. Because you have multiple baristas, multiple days, etc.
Yeah.
It basically takes the variability of that tamp out of the equation.
Yeah, and I'm not spruking the puck press in general, but...
Well, it's the type of tool. I mean, that's the type of tool that's coming out of the market now. It's beginning mixed reception.
The bar that we have, the espresso bar that we have here at the 7 Miles Roastery is like a horseshoe shape. So the way that we were tamping before the puck press is because both of us are right-handed. We were spinning 180 to tamp and then spinning back to put in the machine. But with the puck press, you just slot the handle in and it tamps. And then you can put something else in your right hand and tamp with your left and then kind of dual wield things. So it had a bonus function of making the work environment a little bit better and taking some RSI off our wrists and our fingers tamping a bunch of times every day as well.
Yeah.
So I wonder whether if it was, even if it was less consistent, whether it would still have an advantage.
Yeah, I suspect it probably even would. And I think that's another thing that sort of brings up this whole thing, because we also have, we have the puck press in there. We've now got machines, you push a button, it gives the right brew ratio. We talked about, Matt and Josh were talking in the previous podcast now about recipes, sorry, about extraction. Talking about brew how, things. Yeah, about brew ratio is a really important thing to control to get the taste that you're after, and have machines that do that now. And we have a wonderful video on our blog on automation.
Yeah, I love that video.
Yeah, that looks at, I think it was Barista One was doing the demonstration. So that not Josh. Barista, I mean, A.
Barista A.
They should remain unnameless, but anyways.
Sam McLaughlin.
Yes. Yeah, that's too obvious. S. McLaughlin. Yeah, I mean, we looked at the difference of doing the old school traditional, you know, looking at the espresso shot, pull it, tamp it manually, do the timing, dosing, weighing, you know, getting a good quality shot both times.
In a service environment.
Yeah, and I think there was 40%, I think he got the coffee out, I think it was 1:09 he got a coffee out, and I think using all the automation in there was about 30, 35 seconds.
Yeah.
And this was also the whole time, more or less, I think it was only 15 seconds interacting with the coffee.
Yeah.
The best thing was he actually had the rest of the 15 seconds talking to the person in front of him.
Yeah, explaining coffee information or, you know.
And it's as Matt was talking about at the beginning, I think people, when they go to get a coffee, that's what they're after.
Absolutely.
So I think it's countercultural in some ways. We kind of think, oh, automation means it's a dehumanization. I think actually, on the other hand,
it increases it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I guess it's up. I, in my experience working in cafes, people seem to find that relationship with their barista to sort of be top priority. And, you know, like if you are greeted with a smiling, happy face in the morning, whether they're making you a coffee or not, that's definitely going to affect how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you get, you know, something that has caffeine in it that makes you feel good as well, it's kind of some good, what's it called? Pavlov's dog.
What?
What classic dog? Classic conditioning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Feel good.
Yeah.
Taste good.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, I think so.
I think what I'm interested in, and Matt might be able to answer this being our head of training and education here, how automation is going to affect the barista skill level, which I think a lot of people are worried about.
Oh, absolutely. It'll take a lot of the initial training out of it, I think. Like, for example, the Mythos 2, grinding by weight, that gravimetric version of the Mythos 2. You take away a lot of the, okay, you need to not only adjust the grind, but the timer of the grind to get the right weight. Yeah. So there's an initial training kind of put away. You get more technologies like the Uber Milk, something that frosts your milk for you, that does it very well, very consistently, time and time again. You're taking a lot of that initial training away. So you can really just focus on the product and the flavor and the consistency of the flavor, and maybe perhaps teach more about customer service.
Yeah.
Which would be very good. No, I think this is only a positive, all these new technologies coming in.
A lot of specialty baristas cop a lot of flack for having their head down behind the coffee machine and not really being out in front engaging with customers. And I think the less of that, probably the better. If I can make a bold claim.
Yeah, well, when we Jenny, our CEO, and I just came back from LA, and one of the big topics there was fifth wave coffee, which, I mean, some people hate waves.
Yeah.
I love waves.
Waves in coffee, we sort of how we talk about like generations in terms of age. So
if you could quantize the changes in coffee from instant, for example, first wave, you consider instant coffee and some might consider bad coffee.
The dark ages.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. Through to coffee chains, kind of like Starbucks would sort of be a second wave coffee coffee wave. Yeah,
the Bronze Age.
The Bronze Age. And then you have the sort of the silver. And the gold age. I don't think that's the way it works, actually. In my mind, it is how it works. And then you have the third wave, I guess you could consider that specialty coffee. Yep. Came out sort of a breakaway, looking at freshness, fresh is best. We talked about that a little while ago. Yeah, so. Single origins. Fourth wave is looking at the pursuit of coffee perfection.
Yeah.
The science, getting the science right. And we've talked a little bit about that, and we'll talk more about that. And yeah. Some would argue where are we in Australia? That's a matter of contention, is whether waves even hold in Australia. Mm. Not that we are above the wave. No. But we're somewhere there.
Wave adjacent, maybe.
Wave adjacent, yeah. Mm. We live by the waves.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah, we're weird. We like espresso.
We do. Getting back to what I was trying to talk about. But I suppose we had to define what the waves were.
Yeah.
The fifth wave is effectively moving, having perfected the art and the science, moving forward to having exceptional customer service. And I think some people feel that automation, as we've already talked about a little bit, take it away from that. But I think au contraire.
I mean,
the more service time, the more face-to-face time you get.
I would be interested to know how many customers watch their barista make their coffee. I think a lot of coffee people watch other baristas make their coffee. But would you notice if someone was making it completely manually by hand versus someone who pressed the latte button and got you a latte? Mm. Like, would you know? That is something that I would think would be an interesting thing.
Yeah, maybe we should get maybe the next time we'll get some customers in and see if they notice the difference. Yeah.
Get a two group Eversys and see if anyone
Eversys, get a top brew, any of those. Yeah. Yeah, any of those super automatics.
Yeah.
Who knows? We can even get one of those home machines.
Yeah.
We've got one of those upstairs we're going to test. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's anything to add?
Anything else?
I think that's it.
Yeah. It's an interesting time.
It's a fun time. It's a fun time to be in coffee. Fun time to be alive.
Recently I had a conversation with someone who owns a couple of cafes. Ooh. And they were saying that they were struggling to find skilled baristas.
Very good point.
So I wonder, the barista has always been or typically been sort of young, bubbly, good at working long hours and sort of manual labor-y kind of physically demanding roles, being on your feet for a while. So I wonder if automation is going to sort of make that skill gap a little shorter, making it easier to sort of find people who maybe couldn't have worked in coffee before being able to work in the coffee industry, because maybe all you need is a good palate in the future and good social skills.
You could argue that even you don't even need any of that. as long as you have one person working for you, it's got a good palate. Yeah. You could actually get a number of people. In fact, that would also help solve the problem of turnaround.
Yeah.
Of cafe employees only staying for less than a year before they go on to do the thing, the gap year, whatever happens to be on travel.
Still an issue even in specialty.
Oh, yeah.
You'd think with the amount of education available that people would not have to jump ship every time to learn something new. They could,
as long as you get people that are engaged, which is the kind of people you want in the first place, they can learn the technical and the people at the same time.
Yeah.
Getting better at both at the same time. And I think absolutely it would help.
Yeah.
That's fifth wave. Mm. That's fifth wave thinking, Josh.
head of the bell curve.
Yeah. Well,
if I do say so myself.
No, you're right.
Cool. If you have any questions regarding automation, please send us an email at podcast@sevenmiles.com.au. Seven spelt the word, SEVEN.
And if you want to read more about automation, some of the equipment, we have a number of articles now about generation automation, about an Eversys Cameo review, Puck Press. We got a whole bunch of stuff on there, and that's at sevenmiles.com.au, the editorial section there.
Follow us on all the social medias as well. We've got all of that on lock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
Cool. Thank you for joining us, Maddie.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for having me again.
It's been the Coffee
Fantastic.
Science Group podcast.
Awesome.
Signing out.
Bye.
Bye.
Yes.